Welcome and thanks for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. Welcome and thanks for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages.
Chapter 20. I was telling my Sunday school class this morning that Jeremiah has popped off the page this year in my own personal Bible reading like it never has before. I think at least in large part, because I'm reading the chronological Bible plan this year. And I've really, really enjoyed that. I've never done that in years past. I've just read from Genesis to Revelation. And the chronological plan lines up the timeline of Scripture. And so while you're reading, for instance, in Kings and Chronicles, you're also reading in the Prophets, and different passages come together like that. And growing up, I had a hard time imagining and understanding that the prophets didn't come way, way after the kings. For the most part, the prophets were right there with the kings, and oftentimes they were prophesying to the kings. And I had a hard time gathering that together as a youngster. And so maybe you've had some issues and difficulties with that as well as you read through trying to place where all this is going on the timeline of history. And I would encourage you to do the chronological reading plan. Again, it's been very, very helpful for myself. I'm using an app to be able to do that. And so I just tap on the app first thing in the morning. And it just gives me my passage for the day. I mean, we just live in such a great day in so many ways. You just tap on it, tells you what to read, you read it, you're done. Beautiful. But really have been enjoying that and enjoying the book of Jeremiah. I spoke about last week, a large part of the message was about us being fearfully made. And we tried to sort of help show what it means for us to have been fearfully made. And my mind and my heart was just sort of staying on that even after the message. You know, I wish that all of our minds were like that. You know, we hear a message on Sunday, and I wish that Monday morning we would wake up thinking about it. And sometimes it is the case with me, sometimes it's not. Sometimes I'm on to next week. But this past week, the Lord really had me staying on that quite a bit. And then brought me to this message for this week. And so I'm excited about what we have today from the Lord. I want to ask you to help me as we read Jeremiah chapter 20. We're going to read verses 1 through 11, verse 1 through verse number 11. I'm going to ask you to read aloud with me the even number verses. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 1. And then as we come to 2, 4, 6, 8, so on, down through verse number 11. If you would read aloud this morning confidently, Scripture as we read through this passage. Jeremiah chapter 20, beginning in verse number 1. Now Pashur the son of Immer the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor-Missabib. Now aren't you thankful you didn't have to read that name? Verse number 4 together. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. and thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Every one mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. The title of the message this morning is Decision About Derision. Decision About Derision. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for these real life accounts, real people that dealt with real circumstances, cried out to you from a real heart. Lord, you always had and you always have a solution. I pray that you'll help us in the year 2023 as believers to be faithful to the Lord in our decision about derision. Give us a heavenly, holy boldness in our day. The same that Jeremiah possessed in his day. And I pray this morning, if there is somebody here who doesn't know Christ as Savior, I pray that they'll realize that this same message of destruction ultimately applies to them. And I pray that they'll make an eternal decision for the Lord Jesus Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. To deride is to ridicule or criticize. It is to shame, scorn, and shout down. One of the hot-button terms assigned to it in our modern world is the term cancel. Though the term sounds and seems quite trivial, it can actually have very serious effects. If we are canceled, we may lose the support of friends and loved ones. We may lose our freedom to give our honest and truthful opinions. We may even lose our means of employment. Derision, then, has to do not just with what folks think of us, or what they say about us, but also with theirs and others' actions and reactions based upon their thoughts and beliefs about us. Now, our text passage tells us that God's prophet Jeremiah was dealing with derision daily. It had become his lot in life. Seemingly, he was smack dab in the minority. And he had put himself there due to his own words and actions. Every day, everyone mocked Jeremiah according to his status of laughingstock. After all, he had literally been smitten and placed in the stocks and then removed the next day. Y'all ever thought about that before? That word, that term laughingstock, it literally comes from somebody being put in the stocks. And oftentimes, whether it was their hands in the stocks or maybe their feet in the stocks, sometimes they would be upright, sometimes they would lay on the ground, but oftentimes it would be a thing for children especially to come by and make fun of them or maybe throw things at them. That's where the term actually comes from, a laughing stock. Jeremiah literally was a laughing stock. So he'd initially been smitten and placed in the stocks and then removed the next day. Follow the story. This circumstance seems such a far cry from the early days. The days of King Josiah. Josiah was a very good king, although Judah was already way off course. The days of King Josiah, when he had initially heard God's call in his life. You remember Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5? Famous passage of scripture that we quote and we oftentimes use it to show that God knows a baby in the womb. That little downing baby in the womb this morning, God knows that little baby. God had known him, Jeremiah, and sanctified him and ordained him a prophet unto the nations. Woo! Awesome! Those were the early days. Nowadays, he's merely a laughingstock, the butt of the jokes, a derision. Now, Jeremiah must decide what will be his reaction and his response to such derision. In the process of his decision making, we see three conversations as he talks his way through this situation. So I want you to follow this because we're just going to follow what's laid out here in Scripture. We see three distinct conversations that Jeremiah has here. And what he's doing is he's talking his way through how he's going to respond to this derision in his life. So he's got to make a decision about the derision. What are you going to do, Jeremiah? You're a laughingstock. What decision are you going to make? Number one, I want you to see first the conversation with his smiter. With his smiter. The one that is the central figure that is causing him such grief and such persecution and such stress and such pain and such shame. I want us to notice first his conversation with this individual, this man that the Bible says his name is Pashur, the son of Immer the priest. It seems like Immer the priest at one time, maybe at this time, was the high priest. He was the man in charge of the house of God. Pashur was his son. The Bible says he was also the chief governor in the house of the Lord, so maybe Immer was still sort of the figurehead and the man sort of calling the shots, but Pashur now is the one that's really the decision maker, the young, maybe high priest up and coming. We read about both of these names in some different passages. As a matter of fact, descendants of both Immer and Pashur are read about who actually returned from Babylon. So although God seems to have pronounced judgment on Pashur, and that judgment certainly came through, all of his descendants, thank God, were not stricken with his same judgment. Just a side note. But I want us to notice his conversation. And I want to sort of set the scene very quickly. I told you that he'd been put in the stocks one day. The very next day, I want you to catch this. It's important. Now, we think we have it bad. We think that because somebody calls us out on social media or something like that, boy, the world is coming crashing down in my life. What did they say about me? This man, Jeremiah, is literally put in the stocks as a public laughing stock. We already talked about that. And the very next day, now catch it, this man, Pasher, releases him from the stocks. What is Jeremiah's reply? What does Jeremiah do? Well, let's notice verse number 3. And it came to pass on the morrow, it's the very next day, that Pasher brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, I like Jeremiah. I aspire to be like Jeremiah. We should all aspire to be like Jeremiah. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pasher, but Magor-Missabib. What do those names mean? Well, let's talk a little bit about it. The name Pasher is a name which means freedom. Freedom. The name Magor-Missabib means fear on every side. So Jeremiah says to this chief governor, this very powerful man in Judah, he says, God is not calling you Pasher, freedom. He's calling you Magor-Missabib, fear on every side. Now, I want you to think about this again. Last week, we talked about being fearfully made, and we talked about the fact that God literally has made man to be feared. But again, and I'm not sure if I made this completely clear, the fear of man, I posted about this earlier this week, the fear of man brings a snare. So it's not just that God wanted man to be fearful in and of himself. God wanted man to be feared in and of the one in whose image and likeness man was created. God doesn't want people to fear me just because I'm some big bad, you know, Billy Bob or whatever for the time being, because sooner or later, big bad Billy Bob is no longer the biggest, baddest on the street. So that's temporary. If somebody fears you for you, it's only temporary at best. You say, oh yeah, I really stared them down. They were afraid of me temporarily. But when we fear God, it's not a temporary situation. That's an eternal perspective. He's always to be feared. This man's name has changed from freedom to fear on every side. What does that mean, preacher? We'll talk about it here in just a second. Verse number 4. What else did Jeremiah say to this man? So far, not so bad. You know, you have changed your name. God is not calling you freedom. He's calling you fear on every side. Well, as the chief governor of the house, you know, I might button my coat, as it were, and I might say, good. Good. I want people to be afraid of me. Matter of fact, Jeremiah, I want you to be afraid of me. But let's continue to read. Verse number 4. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself. Uh-oh. And to all thy friends. And they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And I'm not done yet, Jeremiah says. This is in context, all right? You have to read that in between 5 and 6. Verse number 6. And thou, Pasher, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity. And thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends, to whom thou hast prophesied lies. The very next day, he's released from the stocks. Jeremiah, go your way quietly. Don't make anybody else mad. Don't make any more waves. You've just been put in the stocks. And the very next day, released from the stocks, he gives this message of judgment to this man by the name of Pashur. This is not a personal address. It's the address of a prophet. That's important for us to mention this morning. May we never get out of character. You notice there were none of Jeremiah's words in here. These were not Jeremiah's words. Had they been Jeremiah's words, he may have said, Pashur, I've got something to say to you, old boy. You think you're so special. You think you've got the power to put me in stocks. And he may have gone through and he may have berated him personally. And maybe he would have talked about how he looked. And, you know, these types of things. Things that you and I would do in the flesh. But Jeremiah did not get out of character. These were not Jeremiah's words. He simply gave Pashur the words of the Lord God. Now, I'm not saying these were popular words either. I'm not saying these were nice, flowery words either. But they were not his words. They were the words of the Lord God. So he has this conversation with this smiter. And the first thing he talks about with his smiter is the smiter's character. Pashur's character. This is interesting to me. Jeremiah says to Pashur, although I'm sure Pashur did not get this message, Pashur, you were created for freedom. But ultimately, you're going to be living in fear. Now, this is a matter, and really this is a message that we could give to literally anybody that we run into, especially those that do not know Christ. Did you know, friend, that God created you to live in freedom? Now, just to say that, people might say, oh, great, I can do whatever I want. Well, hold on just a second. It's not just doing whatever you want. It is doing what is best, doing what is right. That's what God created us for originally, initially. He created us for freedom. Adam, this garden is yours. Do with it as you will. Name these animals and go around and tend to the trees and the plants and the fruit. It's yours. Now, I've got just a couple simple rules. But other than that, you live in freedom. Pastor, you too were created for freedom, but ultimately you're going to be living in fear. And you know, this came home to me again yesterday as we knocked on doors on a street called Boeing here in Midwest City, just north of 29th Street. I mean, 29th Street in Midwest City is really probably the largest booming business area in our entire city. And just one street north of that, a street called Boeing, we were knocking on doors again this week, and you go away from it almost depressed and almost discouraged at the plight of people. You knock on doors and you see the circumstances, not only the physical circumstances that people are living in, but then you see the situations that they're in, the family situations, the brokenness, the neglect, the sorrow, the pain, literally the madness. One guy came out and talked to us and is like, dude, what are you talking about? I mean, like, you're not even speaking really objective reality. It's all around us. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that we were created to be free and to live in freedom. But most people, the majority of people, certainly unbelievers, are simply living in fear. And that's the reason they react the way they do. Folks, you understand the reason that folks ultimately end up being racist or classist or whatever the ist you want to talk about. Truly, if somebody is that way, It's because they live in fear that somebody else will take what they say or believe belongs to them. And I may not be on top. And it goes both ways. The reverse racism works the same way. It says, I want what's yours, you give it to me, and you live on bottom. Well, what kind of life is that? But a person that has a freedom mindset, he truly wants everybody to be able to prosper, and not just prosper from a monetary standpoint. We know that money lasts just a little while, and the Bible says it makes wings and it flies away. True prosperity is always tied in to the Lord. But people are living in fear. Fear that my circumstances may just get worse. And fear if I don't do something, maybe lie, maybe cheat, maybe steal, maybe rob, I won't even have the daily necessities. People are living in fear, whereas they were created for freedom. And so when we speak with our smiters, those that are against us, we might want to talk to them about their character as well. Number two, he not only talked to Pasher about his character, he talked to him about his captivity. See, this is really what fear leads to. Fear ultimately leads to bondage. Captivity. And Israel was good, and Judah was good about fearing man at times. They would fear Assyria. They would fear Babylon. They would fear Persia. They would fear Egypt. But they didn't fear the one that was most fearful. And as a result, what would happen? God would lead them into bondage and captivity. It happened over and over and over again. And so he speaks to them about captivity. He basically says, you're going to be in a prison. Listen to this. This is important. A prison of your own making. Remember what his name means, the second one? Magor Misabib. What does it mean? Fear on every side. Fear on every side. You're going to be surrounded by your own terror. This is a situation, these are circumstances, ultimately, that you have created. And you want to know what I believe this morning? I believe this with all my heart. There's a lot more people in jail or in prison that are walking around free than there are those in the jails and prisons all over the world today. You understand what I mean by that? You don't have to be in chains and behind bars to be in prison. But because of the fact of this fear on every side and not living in freedom the way that God intended, people are living in bondage. They're living in bondage to their sin. They're living in bondage to their habits, and they cannot seem to get out. I saw a situation yesterday that I've seen time and time and time again. A young lady, and I don't want to give too much detail because she might show up, but had babies back to back to back, 1 year after the next year after the next year, no sign of a man, a dad, a husband in the picture anywhere. A young lady. What has that young lady helped to create for herself? Bondage. Captivity. She can't freely live the way that God would have her to live and cannot be fulfilled in life the way that God would have her to be fulfilled in life. Why? She's living in a bondage of her own making. We see them all over the place. These are our smiters. These are those that would talk against us, that would oppose us. And yet God says to us in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Wisdom helps us to understand how we need to answer every man. Do we need to answer them with that fear that ultimately they ought to have, the fear of God? Some have compassion, and others save with fear. Do we need to have that sort of a message? Or do we need to see this person that maybe seems like they're crying out from their bondage and they need somebody to let them know God loved you enough that He gave Himself for you so that you might have life? God, give us wisdom to know how to respond and what to say to those who are our smiters. So Jeremiah first has a conversation with his smiter. Number two, he has a conversation with his sovereign. Notice verses 7 and 8. This is a short, brief conversation. And it's not the one that I would think that he would have. Notice verses 7 and 8. Now, it's interesting because you read through these passages, and if you don't have, how many of you have those paragraph insignias in your Bible that shows you sort of where the conversation changes? Well, not all Bibles have that. And so I was reading down through this, and so if you're not careful and you're not paying attention, you don't realize the conversation has shifted. So at first, he's talking to Pasher, but now the conversation shifts, and he's no longer talking to Pasher. But you got to be paying attention to be able to see that. All right, verses 7 and 8, we see the conversation shift. Oh, Lord. Well, that's a good indication it's a shift. He's not calling Pasher Lord, right? So he's talking to Jehovah. Oh, Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Exactly what You had me to do, God. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Lord, I've said exactly what You told me to say. I've done exactly what You've told me to do. And this is the result. I've been placed in stocks. I am literally a laughing stock because I simply did what You told me to do. This conversation with his sovereign, two things quickly. He's feeling deceived. Anybody as a believer will be honest and say, you have felt deceived about what you thought initially the Christian life was, and somewhere down the road, what you realized the Christian life really was. Maybe you thought early on, man, the Christian life, man, it's just one big amusement park. You know, you just go through and eat all kinds of good stuff till you get halfway sick, and then you go ride a roller coaster, and you really do get sick, and once you get that out a little while, then you go do it some more. Just one big amusement park. And then you figure out somewhere down the road, no, it's not like that at all. Trials, tests, tribulation, temptation, it all still exists. And Lord, I feel deceived. Here I was joining Your family, joining the forces of the one true God, and here I am experiencing all this trouble in my life. You've deceived me, Lord. You tricked me. I thought it was going to be great. He's feeling deceived. Not only is he feeling deceived, that's really the least of his problems. He's facing derision. This is not just a feeling. Oh, Lord, I don't feel so great today. No, this is more than that. He's facing real derision, real suffering. And he's crying out to God about it. And friend, that's the right place. He's the right person to whom to cry. You say, even when I feel deceived, even when I'm facing derision, even when I don't really have a positive way to approach the Christian life and I've got complaints. We were having a brief conversation before Sunday school and somebody mentioned asking God why. And so, well, I'm not sure if we're even supposed to ask God why. And I'm like, well, I think we actually should. Now, how we ask Him, we can talk about that. But God already knows our heart. He knows how we're feeling. He knows what we're facing. Why would we not talk to Him about it? He wants us to. Jeremiah is doing that. I want you to know, though, this morning, Christian friend, in particular, what we feel and face, listen to this, what we feel and face doesn't constitute all the facts. That's important. Just because you feel a certain way today, just because you're facing whatever it may be, physical, mental, financial, whatever it may be, I'm feeling this, I'm facing this today, we've got to remember that does not constitute all the facts. If the Lord tarries, there will be a tomorrow. And if the Lord doesn't tarry, guess what? There will be an eternal tomorrow. Either way, there is a tomorrow. And there has been a yesterday. God has been good to me. Even if today I'm feeling deceived, even today if I'm facing derision, I must be able to look around me and think about yesterday when God was just as good to me as He is today, although the circumstances have changed, and realize it doesn't constitute all the facts. Psalm number 62 gives us good advice about this very thing. Having a conversation, having a talk with our sovereign. Psalm 62, 1 and 2, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. These circumstances and situations are coming into my life, but I'm not going to be moved off of the truth. I get so sick and tired of seeing your truth and my truth. And we got to get off of that, folks. The truth. Objective truth. Dropping down, Psalm 62, verse number 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He says it again. Although things are changing, although I've got enemies, although I've got trials, although I've got problems, I shall not be moved. My position in the Lord is an immovable position. If you're in Jesus Christ this morning and Jesus Christ is in you, your position, eternally speaking, is immovable. Doesn't matter how bad the days are or how good the days are, your position in Christ is immovable. You truly are blessed. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. This is the part that I really love. Verse number 8. This is good advice. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Now here it is. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Friend, are you feeling deceived in some way this morning? Are you facing derision in some way, shape, or form this morning? Could I call out what the psalmist called out? Don't you pour out your heart to the Lord? Why don't we quit whining on social media and pour out our heart to the Lord? I'm not telling you don't ever post a prayer request or something like that, but some folks, all they do is whine on social media about all their troubles and their plights and problems. And people can help, but only to an extent. Why don't we pour out our heart to the Lord? He has a conversation with a smiter. He has a conversation with his sovereign. Number 3, he has a conversation with himself. Notice verses 9 through 11. Here's his decision. Then I said, who's he talking to? Seemed to me like he's talking to himself. We'll see more of that here in a second. I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. You see how quickly he makes this change? He's talking to the Lord. You lied to me. This is not what I thought it was going to be. It's not an amusement park. And all of a sudden, he didn't even say, I'm not going to make mention of you. He says within himself, I'll not make mention of him. It's like he's turning from God and saying, I'm not even going to talk about him anymore. My life's so bad. Are you reading what I'm reading? I mean, that's what I'm reading. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many. He's still talking to himself. Fear on every side. Reports say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. What does he do? While speaking to himself, he speaks the truth. I want to read a few passages for you. You'll get the message here in just a second. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 7. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. The book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. John chapter 16, verse number 13, Jesus said that he's going to send to us the Spirit of truth. The book of Acts, chapter 26, and verse number 25. You say, I think we got it by now, preacher. We're supposed to speak the truth. Yeah, that's it. Acts 26, verse number 25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And then again in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse number 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We live in a society seemingly built on lies. We've got to get back to telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And you know, that includes telling the truth to ourselves. Speak the truth. So he's having this conversation about with himself. Number one, about his spies. Verse number 10, Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 10. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. You say, what exactly is he talking about here concerning these spies of his? It seems to me that they were looking for him to out himself as a false prophet. He's been prophesying of judgment. He's been prophesying of evil things to come for Judah and for Israel. And it seems like they're looking for him to go back on his word. And if he goes back on his word, then they can say, aha, we've got you, Jeremiah. Now we can bring a charge of even death to you because you have shown yourself to be a false prophet. And so it's almost like they're taunting him. Go back on your word. You say you believe in God. Why don't you change your word? And why don't you forsake God? And why don't you talk about the fact that you really don't believe in him? So he's speaking the truth with himself about his spies. Number two, he speaks the truth with himself about his speech. Verse number 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But he's being honest with himself. It's a reminder for Jeremiah. Jeremiah, whose words are you speaking? He's asking himself. Whose words are you speaking? Your words? Is this your message? Do you have a patent on this message, Jeremiah? Are these truly the words of the Lord? And do you know this is what the Lord told you to say? And Jeremiah must say, I'm speaking God's words. He's telling himself. It's his words that I'm speaking. So he's talking with himself about his spies, about his speech. Finally, about his state or his status. This is tremendous. In working his way through this problem, I've got a decision to make about derision. He's having these conversations. He's talking first with his smiter. Then he's talking with his sovereign. Now he's coming to decision time and he's talking with himself. It's like he's making a case. And I'm listening to this side, the pasture side, the Magor Missabib side. I'm listening to this side, the sovereign side. But now I've got to come to a decision for myself. By the way, every one of us has to do that. We've got to decide for ourselves what we're going to do about derision. It's not a matter of if, but when it's coming. In this life, in this society, if you and I speak out for the Lord, it's coming. We better have made a decision about how we're going to respond. So what is his state or his status? Notice quickly, verse number 11. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. I love this. I love this. There is a consideration of the terror in verse number 4. Jump up quickly to verse number 4. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 4. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends. So Magor Missabib, he's got some fear, some terror about him. And so there's like a consideration here between that terror and the terrible one. And in comparing the two, it's like Jeremiah says, there is no comparison. I don't care what terror Magor Missabib brings to me, himself, his friends, or anybody else. There's nothing like the terror, the fear of the terrible one. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. By the way, it's good to have the terrible one on our side. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. He goes back to this position that we spoke about, even in Psalm number 62. He says, I know the everlasting, mighty, terrible one. Jehovah, the self-existent one. And not only do I know him, he's with me. How's that for some encouragement? How's that for some inspiration? You've got your stocks, you've got your scorn, you've got your shame, you may be a laughing stock, but I want you to know this, you don't have the Lord on your side, I've got Him on my side. And I'm on His side. That is an eternal state and status. Certainly when we've been born again into the family of God, nobody can take that away from us. We can never be separated from the love of God. So he's got to make a decision. What are you going to do, Jeremiah? You can read the rest of the chapter. Jeremiah still struggles. But I've read the rest of the book. I'm talking about the book of Jeremiah. And although Jeremiah struggles, and I thank the Lord that He shows us the struggles of this prophet. He's just a regular guy, a regular person like any of the rest of us. But Jeremiah obeys the Lord. He does what God has told him to do. Oh yes, Jeremiah makes a decision. It's the same kind of decision that the apostles made in Acts chapter 4. Remember in verse number 20, there had been a man healed. He was an invalid. He was not able to walk. And you remember that famous passage there, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." Everybody gets all excited. People start getting born again, largely based on the testimony of the man that was an invalid but now has been healed. Now derision comes. And in Acts chapter 4, verse number 20, talking to the leadership, sounds very similar to Jeremiah's day. Peter says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Doesn't that sound like Jeremiah? Jeremiah says, "I'm tired of this Christian life. I'm tired of being a derision daily. I'm tired of the reproach. I'm tired of the stocks. But the word of the Lord was in me and I couldn't help myself but to say what God told me to say." God help us to be so filled with His word and with His spirit that we cannot but speak. And if we didn't, the rocks would cry out and would glorify God. Proverbs 18:3. "When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach." You say, what do all those words mean? Well, let me help you. When the wicked cometh, by the way, wicked is not just a state of things. Wicked comes because of wicked people. We live in wicked days because there are some wicked people. No, everybody is not basically good. No, they're not. They're wicked. "When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt," that's shame, "and with ignominy," that's disgrace, "reproach," that's scorn. Now here's the question. Do we not understand that this comes along with the life that we're living as believers? There's wicked in the world. There are wicked people all around us. And with the wicked come shame and disgrace and scorn. It's a natural byproduct of wickedness. God has told us, this is what you should expect. Now He's got to remind us over and over again because we're thick and we're hard-headed and we forget. We just forget. But God has already told us, hey, you're living in wicked days just like Jeremiah was living in wicked days. So these things are to be expected. In other words, derision is going to come. It is to be expected. Again, I'll say this, if we open our mouths for the Lord. Sadly, too many so-called believers are muted in 2023. Because of the threat of cancellation in our world, we won't open our mouth about anything. Oh, we're glad to do it amidst the brethren. Did you hear what they did down there? Man, those stinking, rebellious, evil people down there. Oh, we get out into society. We got our mask on. We've been muted. We can't say anything about anything. And it's no wonder wickedness has overcome our society and our world because we've simply not opened our mouths. I'm not trying to tell you to open your mouth when God doesn't say to open your mouth. But some of us, if we go by that rule and we look at our life, we would say, God never tells me to open my mouth. Never. Not the same God I serve. So what am I saying? Well, we've got to make a decision about derision. The same decision that Jeremiah had to make, we're going to have to make the same one. You say, Pastor Taylor, what's coming? Are there stocks coming for us? Is there going to be a day again where Christians are going to be put out on the forefront, physically speaking, and people are going to laugh and mock and scorn? By the way, the same way they did your Jesus and my Jesus. Are they going to do it again? If the Lord tarries is coming, I suspect, yes, absolutely they will. They start with words. But as it goes down the way, it becomes actions. So it's coming. Derision is a coming, and we've got to come to terms with our decision. Let me say this quickly, because I thought of you a lot this week. Young people that are going back to school, in particular, the public school. You go to that government school with children that have largely been indoctrinated with a godless philosophy. And so they think, speak, and act in a godless way. And you decide at some point that you're going to open your mouth and talk for the Lord. Guess what? Derision is a-coming. Sadly, in this day and age, it may come from your administration. You may have some reprobate, wicked, evil, and I could add some others, but they're probably not proper for church, in your classroom that deride you. It won't be the first time. You got a decision to make. By the way, it's not just school-age children. It's us adults, too. On the workplace. I'm not talking about, you know, while you're working and all that necessarily. I'm just saying, there's going to come a time. These issues are going to come up. Don't ever discuss politics and religion. They're going to come up. You can only talk shallowly for so long. And when they come up, what do we do? We got to make a decision about derision. And the decision is either shut up. Jeremiah, he looked at that option. I'm not going to mention God anymore. But then when he stacked his case up as he's working his way through this problem, God's on my side. The most terrible one is on my side. I've got the truth on my side. I know that they're going to be in everlasting shame and confusion. I know that judgment is coming their way. Why would I not speak up? We got to make that decision. All of us do. So what are we going to do when derision comes our way? We've got to have a decision made about it. By the way, our children, I say this quite often, but our children are watching us. They're watching our decision in real time. When a certain flag or a certain banner or a certain buzzword is hoisted up in society, do we say something about that or do we just sort of shrink in the moment? We got a decision to make, folks, concerning derision. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us. Help us this morning. Lord, it seems to me like our day is not very different from Jeremiah's day. And I pray once again that you'll help us. Lord, give us an unction, an anointing, a spiritual boldness to speak the word of God. Help us, Lord, to have it so ingrained in our heart and in our mind that it just immediately comes to the surface. Help us not to give too much consideration to the immediate circumstances, but we would just speak when you tell us to speak and speak what you tell us to speak. Help us this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask this question. First, if you would say, Pastor Taylor, I'm not sure that I've ever been born again into God's family. I don't know that I've been born again. That I have eternal life this moment. That I know if I were to die today, I know that my soul would be with the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Taylor, I'm not sure about that, but I'm concerned about it this morning. Preacher, would you pray for me? There's nobody else looking around right now. If you just put your hand up right back down about that need in your life, I'll pray for you. I'm praying for you. Is there another? Pastor, I'm not sure that I have eternal life. I'm not sure that I've been born again. Please pray for me. I'm concerned about it this morning. Pray for me. Is there another? Pray for me. Please. Is there another? Okay, let me ask this question. You say, I am a Christian. I have been born again. I'm sure about that. But I know this morning that I'm facing the same decision that Jeremiah faced about derision. And I'm praying for God's help in my life. If that's your prayer this morning, would you just slip your hand right up, put it right up? I'm praying about God's help concerning this decision. Okay. Let's pray together. We'll have a time of invitation. This is a time you can come, pray to the Lord. Or if you need to make a decision concerning salvation or baptism, church membership, whatever it may be, we would invite you to come as well. We'll talk to you about those things. We'll invite you to come right after we say amen. Heavenly Father, help us now, please, this morning. Concerning salvation, I saw one hand. Help that one, Lord, to realize the simplicity of the gospel. Help to realize they can know for sure that they have eternal life. And then, Lord, for Christians all over this building, Lord, we will face derision. It is coming. I pray that we'll have the boldness and the help that you provide to be decisive in those moments. Lord, help us to remember the eternal picture. Be with this invitation time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you?
Thanks again for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. We hope you got something from this message.